Okay, good evening. We finished the second parak of Maseches Brachos and Mishnayos. We're up to the third parak. The first, just the order of the Mishnayos. So we learned all about Kriyat Shema in the first parak. The second parak continued the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. First it was when, where, how, who is chayev, who's obligated. Then we discussed the details of, you have to say the words very, very carefully. Then we started talking about exemptions. Who's exempt from saying Kriyat Shema? We spoke about a chassan. Someone that gets married, on the night of their wedding, they're exempt from Kriyat Shema. And the third parak continues where the second parak left off. Who's exempt from Kriyat Shema? So the Mishnah begins by saying, Misha Mesa Mutulafanav, Pater mi Kriyat Shema uminatfila, uminatfilin. Somebody that, unfortunately, Lo Aleinu, lost a relative that they're going to sit Shiva for, is exempt from Shema, Tfilin, Shmon Esrei, davening, and Mikol HaMitzvos HaMurish B'Torah, and from all other mitzvos in the Torah. So we have a few questions on this Mishnah. We're not even finished with it. It's like, this is just the first line of the Mishnah. But number one, this is talking about an Onein, somebody that lost a relative who's not yet buried. They're an Onein, they're exempt from all mitzvot, I say, any positive mitzvah. So why does the Mishnah specify these three? Why specify Tefillah, Tefillin, and Shema? What's unique about those three? And what is the status? Why is an Onein exempt from mitzvos? Positive. Negative mitzvos, they're still obligated, but positive mitzvos. So there's actually some interesting cases that come up as to Sfiras Omer is a very challenging one. Because if an Onein misses a day of Sfiras Omer, then they lose the rest of the mitzvah. That's a challenging one. How do you do that? What do you do? It's a big discussion in the Achronim as to what an Onein should do in that situation when they would end up losing a day if they didn't count at all. But let's just go. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim as to why an Onein is exempt from Mitzvaseh. Rashi invokes in Maseches Brachos the idea that an Onein is exempt from all mitzvos because... What? He has to perform a mitzvah. So, osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from other mitzvos. That principle within itself is not how we paskin. Why is that? Because within the principle of osik b'mitzvah is that if somebody can theoretically perform two, they should perform two, right? But we don't say that by an onein. Onein should not say brachos, should not daven, right? Why is that? Because Rashi elsewhere quotes Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says there is like this complete exemption from any mitzvahs at all. And there are two different reasons that are given. One reason that's given is that we're concerned that if an Onein would go to do mitzvahs, they wouldn't end up performing the very, very important mitzvah of burial. That's one.
What about Shabbos then?
One second. The second is... because I think Rabbi Soloveitchik explains this, is that the halakha is giving an onein distance from Hashem. There's a certain healthy distance that the halakha creates, acknowledging the reality and the emotions of an individual, to create some distance to have space to mourn within the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So David, you're asking about Shabbos.
Not necessarily not holding Shabbos, but like making Kiddush, so on and so forth.
So, since on Shabbos we can't be involved in burial, right? Therefore, there is no aninus. There's no aninus on Shabbos itself. That is also true when it comes to Chol HaMoed, right? If that's a good question. Are they exempt, right? It's not Chol HaMoed, Yontif. When it comes to Yontif, that would also be an exemption as well, because you can't be involved during that time anyway. Even if you say you bury on the second day Yontif.
If you're not involved in the burial whatsoever.
Yeah.
For instance, they had this where the burial was going to be in Israel, and the person wasn't going to Israel. They
right. So if the person is not going to go, and they made a decision not to go, their Avelus starts right away. Their Avelus would start.
They are never a no-name then.
Correct. Sometimes people are unsure, am I going to go, am I not going to go? When they make a decision, that's when actually it comes into play. I will tell you another scenario where I forgot which Rosh Hashiva I discussed this with, but there was a major delay in the burial itself. Two different scenarios. One was a scenario where The bear was in Chicago in the middle of the winter. The ground was too cold. And they, unfortunately, they had to delay it by a few days. So at that point, I don't remember who I spoke to, there is no status of eninus then. There's no status of eninus then because there's nothing you could do at this moment, right? Similar to like a Shabbos, nothing you could do at that moment. Similarly, there might be delays sometimes in travel. But otherwise, we do err on the side of that you would be exempt, typically. Yeah, Jay?
We made this distinction between active and passive mitzvahs.
What's an act? What do you mean? From what?
Anochi Hashem.
Oh, from believing in God. So we do give space to right, if you're not performing the mitzvahs, right, we do give space to like question. But we ultimately do believe, right? We question. That's why, and Rabbi Soloveitchik also explains, that's why an Avel, during the year, they switch their seat. So he feels the seat should be switched further away from the Aron. Everybody, if you sit in the back row, I don't know what you do, but if you sit, you should move to further away from the other side. But you move further away because acknowledging this like this healthy distance from Hashem that naturally comes after it can come, doesn't have to come, but it can come.
You should actually move closer.
What?
You should actually move closer.
So sometimes, okay, yeah, we can talk about this more. Tisha B'Av is a day of distance, but also many ways people feel closer to Hashem through the distance itself sometimes, right? So I think that could be true also during this experience as well. But next week we'll continue why these three mitzvot, Kriyat Shema, Tefillin, what is unique about those three, and the status of Tefillin especially, it has unique halachic status. Israel, Adonai Chafetz